The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio and streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Lead. And just when I think this place can't get any crazier, then Thursday happens. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
So when I was a little kid, I'm going to spin a yarn about my childhood in Ballard. I'm a little kid growing up in Ballard, and I would often ride my bicycle to the Ballard Library. They had this little courtyard area in the back that had a fountain, and you could sit back there on summer days and read books and listen to cascading water. It was really nice. I liked it. I liked it a lot. And one day, I checked out, I mostly read sports books. One day, I checked out a biography of Roberto Clemente, the great Pittsburgh Pirate outfielder. And I know that this must have been either 70 or 71 because he was still alive when I checked it out. And Roberto Clemente, on New Year's Eve 1972, he was trying to get supplies to earthquake-ravaged, I think it was Nicaragua, and his plane went down and he died. But he was still alive. I just thought he was a great ball player. And so I checked out this Roberto Clemente book. And a few weeks later, my mom gets a letter from the library that Dory hasn't returned the Roberto Clemente book. And my mom asked me where it was. And I said, I don't know. I freaked out. We scoured the house from top to bottom. And I couldn't find the Roberto Clemente book. And my mom's in a panic. She goes, that means we're going to have to buy it. We're going to have to pay to replace it. This was, if it was 71... which is what I'm guessing, that would be 48 years ago. And I remember it to this day because how could I be this irresponsible? How did I lose the Roberto Clemente book at the Ballard Library? And then my poor mom, we didn't have, you know, two quarters to scratch together. And she says, we're going to have to pay for the book now. We're going to have to buy it. And, oh, I felt awful. I don't remember what eventually happened. I know my mom didn't have enough to pay for the book, as she feared. And I know she had to go down to the library and talk to the librarians. But 48 years later, I still remember this feeling of, I was really irresponsible. And here I got this place that I love, and now they're mad at me, my mom's mad at me. So let's compare and contrast that to this Jenny Durkin press conference, where she announced that she wants huge property taxes for the Seattle libraries. And, of course, she said it's $213 million. And, you know, the way she phrased it, well, we're just extending the old library levy, which is the little game that all politicians love to play. They pass the levy and they say it'll just be for 7 years. And then 7 years later, they say, oh, we're just going to increase the amount you were already paying. It was $6 a month. Now it's going to be $7.50 a month for the average home. And they always lowball that figure. I'm sure it'll be more like, because I pay hundreds of dollars on my property tax bill for the King County Library. So Jenny Durkin calls this press conference in. The first thing I thought of was the Roberto Clemente book and how vivid that memory of irresponsibility was. Okay, so why do they need $213 million for the libraries. Mayor Durkin, let me hand it over to you.
As a city, we are absolutely committed to lifting up communities who have been historically underserved. We do that throughout all of our work, and nowhere is that more important, I think, than the library system, which stands for so much about how we are as a better community. I'm committed to, as mayor, and I know the council is committed as well, to making sure that our libraries are open to every resident in the city of Seattle. That's one reason why, in a step for equity, we look across the system. We have to remove as many barriers as possible. So we will be eliminating all of the overdue library fines.
What? So you're raising people's taxes to pay for the fines of people who have overdue library books? That's why you're raising property taxes? So that the people of your city, the responsible taxpayers, can pay for other people's irresponsible kids? And did you hear what she said? It's equity for underserved communities. You know what that is? That's called the bigotry of low expectations. So are you telling me, Jenny, that you don't think an underserved communities is the new liberal buzz phrase for minority communities? And whether that minority be, you know, sexual orientation or skin color or ethnicity, whatever. That's the new buzzword. So are you telling me, Jenny, you don't think kids of color can return books on time? I mean, this is how we achieve equity, by removing fines. So what? People can just steal books from the library? You're just making it a free bookstore? You're raising people's property taxes? So anybody can just walk off with a book and not pay the fine? And I was listening to this, I just was furious.
We want to make sure people can come in or from their home, get in circulation, enjoy, and not have a barrier to a library or to a place of learning. We find that barriers are real, that fines are barriers in ways that they really shouldn't be and they don't need to be. And we can have a better system, and through this levy, we will have a better system.
Fines are barriers. Yeah, we don't want to hold anybody responsible in Seattle. We don't, gosh darn it. We don't want to punish somebody for not returning a book on time or not returning it at all. That's a barrier. Because apparently if you have fines, you can't use the library until you pay up your fines. You know what? I think that's a lot more fair. She's talking about equity. I think it's more equitable to tell somebody who's got library fines you can't use the library until you pay your fines. I think that's far more equitable than to tell everybody else, yeah, we got to raise your property taxes to pay for other people's fines. And, oh, but it's all about equity. I'm telling you, she's all about equity. Here's more. Oh, wait. Before I get to that. Then Deborah Juarez, city councilwoman, Deborah Juarez got up to speak, and she thanked Durkin for eliminating library fines.
I also want to say and thank the mayor for waiving the late fees, so I will be first in line for amnesty.
What? You're a Seattle city councilwoman? You can't return a book on time? You're running the city? You're responsible for billions in a city budget? You can't return? You're going to be first in line for amnesty? Let's raise everybody's property taxes so Deborah Juarez won't have to return her library books on time. I'm going to be first in line for amnesty. But I tell you what, though. It's all about equity. We have to be equitable in Seattle.
We will make sure that our public library system, more than ever, opens its doors for opportunity and for equity.
Yes, equity. Tell me more about equity.
The Seattle Public Library really advances equity.
Yes, you do advance equity. Oh, City Councilman Rob Johnson was there, too.
He is such a strong voice for equity across this city.
Yes! Rob Johnson is such a strong voice for equity. Yeah, he lies to his constituents about the need for a bike lane and eliminating parking in his neighborhood. He lies his way to a new job with the hockey team. Yeah, he's all about equity. As long as Rob Johnson gets his fair share, he is all about equity. Oh, hey, can we get more technology in the library? Because you know what I bet that'll help deal with?
We see technology taking off in a way that is so profound. But with that, that increase can also increase a divide in inequities.
Inequities? Wait a second. Technology produces inequities, but you want more technology in the library, so we have to eliminate fines so that we have equity. Aren't you glad they're going to raise your property taxes? And here's the thing. It's going to be on the ballot this fall. And people are going to vote yes. Libraries, yes. Schools, children first. Of course they're going to vote yes, because there's absolutely zero critical thinking among Seattle, the majority of Seattle voters. I like libraries. Okay. Raise my property taxes. It's going to pay for somebody else's kid not bringing back books. I don't care. Will that produce equity? I like equity. And then the other thing is I sat and listened to this whole Jenny Durkin press conference. You might be able to tell. She was in robot Durkin mode for much of this press conference. And robot Durkin is where she emphasizes certain words to show her sincerity. And she just breaks it down. And, oh, gosh, robot Durkin was in full voice striving for equity.
They provide that first educational opportunity.
Wait, was it the second educational opportunity? Please emphasize the word for me so I don't miss it.
They provide that first educational opportunity for so many of our children, but then they stay with them their whole lives.
They provide that first. She just shows us how much she cares about the children. Let's see. We got any more of those?
They are now a central place where people come together.
Are they? Oh, man, I didn't think about that. Let's see. Let's think about something else.
Hosted more than 5 million visitors. Think of that for a minute.
Yes, I'm thinking of it. 5 million visitors at the library.
We have to make sure that the libraries of the future are the libraries that will serve the community of the future. This is such an important time for the city of Seattle in so many ways.
They're very important times for the libraries of the future. Oh, man, it is quite the piece of work that we've assembled here. So as people have seen their property taxes go up thousands of dollars in many cases for the children, for the schools. Actually, it's to pay for unsustainable teacher raises that the union held everyone hostage for. But your property taxes have skyrocketed for that, as I said. I got hundreds of dollars in property taxes a year that goes to the King County libraries. And now they want, they want the libraries open to all for equity purposes. And by the way, the cost of this levy, you don't ever want to say, if you're a politician, you don't ever want to say the word dollar. Because people can wrap their brain around the dollar. Now, like I said, it was they're spending something like $6 a month, and now they want it up to $7.50, and it will be much, much more than that. But she can't say we want to raise it $1.50, because if you're a politician, you want to make sure that you sound earnest and that you never say the word dollar.
If you look at the levy, the renewal amount, the amounts that have been added is about, for the average homeowner, about $1.50 a month. $1.50 a month to do all that we're going to be doing to ensure that libraries continue to be that great oasis for people in this city.
So are you saying $18 a year? No. It's just $1.50. Throwaway. Just $1.50. Well, let's add it all up. Oh, yeah, $213 million. Just $1.50 a month. That's more than you spend on a latte. And think of what we can do for the children to build equity with $1.50. How selfish could you be? What kind of a pig are you that you won't give Jenny Durkin and irresponsible children just $1.50? I mean, if you're against this, you are a selfish human. I don't want you listening to this radio show anymore if you're against this. And I know I may lose some listeners by saying that. But if you won't spend just $1.50 for equity, then I'm sorry. This is not the radio home for you. Oh, man. We're in a nut house. We are in an absolute nut house. The bigotry of low expectations of Jenny Durkin, the demand that people raise their property taxes to pay for other people's irresponsibility, that's the Seattle way now. Tell you what, I didn't know I was going to spend this much time on the libraries, but it's about equity. I'm going to take a brief time out, and then I'm going to continue with the big lead. I've got an amazing teacher who dares stand against the popular opinion locally. Now everybody wants him fired for it. It's an outrageous story that I will share with you next as we get rolling here on the Dory Monson Show. I'm getting loads of feedback from you. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. One listener asks, why am I teaching my daughter responsibility and accountability if the mayor says that it's not needed anymore? I don't know. I mean, I really don't know why we vote for the kind of people we have in office. But let's talk about the insistence on groupthink among the left. Because I saw a story on King 5. King 5's done a great job covering this story. They've got them up on their at king5.com. But they had a story, and I had not seen the first story, the original story, but it was about this Tacoma school teacher who wrote an op-ed in the Tacoma News Tribune a few days ago. And now the school board wants him fired. The community wants him fired. And I'm watching this King 5 story, and I'm thinking, man, what this guy said must be horrible. Here is Katrina Johnson, a parent that King 5 talked to.
If there is no accountability for what he does, then he can do whatever he wants.
Okay, so they're talking about this teacher and how teachers have to be held to a higher standard.
Because he's a teacher and he has so much power and influence over these children, we have to hold him to a higher standard.
Okay, man, this what he wrote must have been horrible. Trina Hall's a parent that King 5 talked to.
And these stories that are coming out are exactly the same stories that my daughter had to deal with, and it's disturbing.
Okay. Again, that first parent.
It starts and finishes with white people. Unacceptable.
What in the world did this guy write? Because both parents say he absolutely should not be teaching.
He needs to be educated, because if he expects our kids to learn, he also needs to learn from this. He needs to be open. He needs to be able to express other people's views and opinions, too.
We need to push back and not just allow this to continue. He should not be teaching our children. It's just that simple.
They want this teacher fired. Not just the parents. A fellow teacher named John Prosser wants his colleague fired.
The author denied that students of color even get marginalized. He denied that discrimination exists in any capacity, which is a pretty blatant trope of white supremacy and racism.
Okay, he's a white supremacist. He's a racist. So here's what I did. I read the Tacoma News Tribune op-ed that this teacher wrote. Let's go through it. Let's find out what he said that is so horrible that the school board, fellow teachers, and parents are demanding that this guy be fired. His name is Mike Jankinish. He's a history teacher in the Tacoma School District. And here's what he wrote. The headline, which he did not write, "Diversity Education is a Divisive Education." And this is what he wrote. "The Great Seal of the United States proclaims the achievement of the American Revolutionary Generation, e pluribus unum, out of many, one. Now comes a measure introduced into the Washington legislature that, if adopted, will turn this achievement on its head, proclaiming the goal of mandating a public schools curriculum that emphasizes diversity and global citizenship. House Bill 1314, supported by a host of the usual liberal suspects, would direct the state school superintendent's office to develop an ethnic studies curriculum. The bill's sponsors hope schools choose to add the curriculum to 7th through 12th grade course offerings. Given the overall leftist influence in our state public schools, a great many districts are likely to expose students to this proposed curriculum. It's a bad idea and should not be approved. The great goal of the Common Neighborhood Public Schools was to provide an environment where children of immigrants would, over time, be welcomed into the common American culture. Even immigrant adults would attend night schools to learn English as quickly as possible. To become American did not mean immigrants had to forego the language and ceremonial life of their country of origin. However, most made it their primary goal to enter into the common culture as quickly as possible. Of course, this increasing emphasis on cultural diversity is not just about school curriculum, but part of a larger agenda to implement the goals of identity politics. This way of thinking is based on the assumption that certain groups of Americans are inherently marginalized in our society and are the victims of ongoing discrimination, but the increasing emphasis on some identifying characteristic, such as race, gender, sexual orientation, or nationality, undermines a historical American achievement. The real problem is this. The proponents of measures like this House bill no longer support the American experiment. They don't want to encourage new immigrants and new citizens to integrate. They think America is inherently racist and discriminatory at every turn. In their view, the best way to change the country is to call into question the common stories that serve to sustain a common American identity. In its place, they'll substitute alternative stories, those of diversity, which aim to divide and not unite. This is not a call to ignore the real transgressions of justice in American history. It is, however, a reminder that this country was not created on the assumption that no injustices would occur or that all existing injustices would be immediately eliminated. As President Abraham Lincoln once observed, the right should always be looked to, even if it could not be achieved all at once. This is probably the worst result of identity politics of those who want to push a diversity education agenda in our schools. The movement represents a loss of faith in the foundational institutions of the American experiment, and worse, undermines those institutions. I can do no better than to end with the wisdom of Lincoln. A house divided against itself cannot stand. That's exactly what will be accomplished by diversity education, a house divided. Now, whether you agree or disagree with the man, he's a citizen of our state, a public school employee who has an opinion about a bill in Olympia. And because he does not subscribe to the demand of leftist groupthink, and that demand is especially prevalent in our public schools, it is mandated that you think the way we tell you to think. It's mandated of the kids. It's mandated of the educators. And if somebody dares step out of line like this teacher, his fellow teachers, parents, school board, they want him fired. So King Five talked to the man who wrote that, Mike Jenkinich.
We have a certain common heritage that created, for example, the Constitution of the United States.
Okay, and the reporter obviously doesn't like this guy either, because the reporter asked this.
You do know that Native Americans were here before the Constitution,
yes,
the U.S. Constitution.
Yes, yes, but I don't see how that's relevant.
So I guess when you say common, goals, I guess whose goals are we talking about?
The goals that formed the country, okay, from 17, well, it started to
and
form.
And you consider the formation of the country when Europeans arrived?
Yes, as a political unit.
That's a factual statement. And that was the formation of this country as a political unit. That's impossible to challenge logically. So then she asked him about the administration that says they want him. They're furious that he dared write something that didn't fall in line with leftist groupthink.
I really don't care what the administration is going to think or not think about it, okay? I made an argument and made a statement.
Some of the teachers are also concerned that students may not feel comfortable or safe or protected or valued within your classroom after having read something like that.
All of that is nonsense.
It's an argument against a bill in Olympia. And so now kids suddenly aren't safe in his classroom because he doesn't toe the line. And like I said, King Five's done a great job covering this. They interviewed the teacher. They got the parents who want him fired. They've got all it up at king5.com. This is what we've come to, though. This is the mandate of the left. Do not stray or we will get you fired. Kids will say they're not safe all of a sudden. Guy's been a teacher for 30-some years with absolutely no problems of safety in his classroom. This is insane. This is insane, the reaction to this. All right, that's an extended big lead. Quick time. I got a lot of other stuff I got to get to as well as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. On the story of the Tacoma teacher, tell you what, people like Teddy Roosevelt, who are celebrated, you know, created our national park system. Teddy Roosevelt, the left would despise Teddy Roosevelt today. Teddy Roosevelt said, "There's no room in this country for hyphenated Americanism. When I refer to hyphenated Americans, I don't refer to naturalized Americans. Some of the very best Americans I've ever known were naturalized Americans. Americans born abroad. But a hyphenated American is not an American at all. Our allegiance must be purely to the United States. We must unsparingly condemn any man who holds any other allegiance." And then he said, "The one absolutely certain way of bringing this nation to ruin, of preventing all possibility of it continuing to be a nation at all, would be to permit it to become a tangle of squabbling nationalities." And of course, with identity politics, Teddy Roosevelt would be considered an incredible, intolerant, hateful racist who would not be allowed to teach at my kid's school. But Teddy Roosevelt was right. You know, and so is this teacher, by the way, that the grand experiment was that we were a melting pot and that we would all come together with shared values, a common language, and That's gone. That's the anathema of the left now. Because they have to stoke the identity politics to get people fired up. Because those, you know, politicians, they just throw out their little tropes. Like Jenny Durkin just says the word equity as many times as possible in a speech. And I think the teacher made a brilliant point about, you know, the same point that Teddy Roosevelt made. But now people say he should be fired for that. It really is amazing, the intolerance of the left. And some people said, well, it's not just, I got some texts. It's not just the left that does that, Dory. I agree with you about this teacher, but it's not just the left. Now, in our public schools, it is only the left. That's the only thing that's allowed. And so, yes, it is just the left in the public sphere that does this sort of thing. Privately, yeah, there are extremists on the left, extremists on the right. But in public life, government, schools, it is one way or the highway. And that's why they want this teacher fired. Let's see what else we got going. Oh, daylight saving time is going to be year-round now in our state because both the House and Senate have passed the bills, and Inslee is going to sign it, and we're going to have year-round daylight saving. I'm just curious how that became such a priority in this legislative session. That's one of the few bills that's passed in both the House and Senate, or similar bills in both. I mean, when you look at what's going on with runaway spending and the taxation that goes with it, of course, the drug problem, property crime in Seattle, how did daylight saving, and why did daylight saving become such a priority that it's one of the few bills that looks certain to pass right now? There are a lot more that are going to pass out of both houses, and they're going to cost us a bunch of money, like the ones I told you about yesterday. 19-cent gas tax increase for transportation. They want a 41-cent climate change gas tax that'll do nothing for the planet. So we're looking at a 60-cent increase phased in over the next few years here in our state if the legislature gets its way. And I'm proud of you. Because as we talked about the gas tax increase yesterday, we talked about the legislative hotline, and I had a lot of listeners who said they were just bombarded after I talked about it, because you got to let your senator know that you don't want a gas tax increase. So I'm going to give that number one more time. You got to make your voice heard on this, because the House has passed this massive 60-cent between the two bills, gas tax increase. The Senate is considering it. 800-562-6000. That's the Washington State Legislative Hotline. 800-562-6000. Fastest 15 next.